All right, here we are again, only a few days removed from releasing episode one of season two. We were talking about the proposed rule changes for 2020 for the TCFL. If you haven't yet listened, go listen and then vote. So we have two additional voices today. First, joining me again is Zilla Farilla. How was your kidless weekend?
Wonderful. It was great, full of restaurants and free time and sleep. It was awesome.
Man, sounds lovely. And also, returning guest Wet Bandits is back. He's back. What's up, Chris?
How are you guys?
First, let's quickly kind of tie these two episodes together. Let's review the current results of the polls that were sent out by Craig. So first, we had the roster and scoring rules reset. I don't know if you guys have looked at this at all, but it looks like that one's going to pass. It's already got nine in favor votes, so I think that's all you need anyway. 75% of the vote to get something passed. So it looks like we will have new scoring next year, which will, like I said in the last episode, blow up Zilla Farilla's excellent records that he's got.
Yep. Put the old era on the books. On to the new era.
All right. And then, so points per first down. The last time I looked, I don't know if anybody's voted since, it is 8-0 in favor of that as well. Wow. So looks like we'll have that for a scoring reset.
What's going on here? We had so much trouble getting any rules changed historically, and now people are just ready.
I know. It's a new era, like you said.
Pretty sure.
Kicker removal. That one doesn't seem to want to pass here. So it's 2-7 against, it looks like. So we will be keeping kickers most likely for next year. So I wish I still had Blair Walsh. That would have been fun. All right. And the last one was adding a flex. Looks like that one is 8-1 in favor of adding the flex. So be prepared. I think there will be probably a second poll coming out. Wasn't that the advice, Chris, that we wanted to get across? Is there going to be a second one for how we're going to implement that?
I think that's what everybody kind of decided on. I think that makes sense.
Yeah. So looks like I guess the roster spot will be most likely added this year for scoring. But then I wonder if we'll have that as a keeper or not the following year. Maybe it won't even be added this year. I'm not sure. So Andy and Brad, if you're listening, vote if you're going to. Also, Andy and Steve, get your keepers in. So we just figured that out today. You're the last two to get those in. I'm sure that, like I said on the sleeper chat, Ben would like to make his decisions with his first two draft picks that he has. So get those in so we know what they are. All right. It's award show time. I'm going to hand it over. There's, I think, I don't know, what do we got, 10? 10 awards that we're doing for the 2019 season, probably the preseason and during the season. Brian's got the first five or six. He took the brunt of the workload on this one, so I'm going to turn it over to him. So let's go.
All right. First award of the night is the Steal of the Draft. And there are six candidates for this award. And I'll just list them off. Derrick Henry, picked in the first round, number 12th pick by Ben. He ended up with the number two running back spot. Derrick Henry. Cooper Kupp, picked in the first round, number four pick. So hard to get a steal of the draft when you're number four overall. But he turned out to be a number four wide receiver in the league. So that's pretty good. Dak Prescott, picked in the fourth round, fifth pick. Turned out to be the number three overall QB. Jameis Winston, picked in the fourth round, ninth pick by Tofts Terrors. Yeah. Number two overall QB. Number one in interceptions, probably. Mark Andrews, number sixth round, seventh pick. So second to last round, picked by yours truly. Ended up as the number two tight end. And Lamar Jackson, picked in the second round with the sixth pick by Chris. Ended up as the number one overall fantasy player by quite a bit. Mm-hmm. So... Before I announce the winner, any thoughts on this from either of you guys?
Well, I like my Jameis pick, that's for sure, even though he doesn't have a starting job anymore. That'll happen when you throw 30 touchdowns and 30 picks in the season.
30 picks.
But, you know, the rule scoring change is going to kind of impact him anyway, or would if he was still starting for Tampa Bay. So,
right.
So, I mean, it was a good pick for last year. Definitely if you look at him versus Dak, I mean, I got Jameis Winston later and he finished higher than Dak. So,
yep.
I would exclude Dak from that. But, yeah, man, I don't know. The Mark Andrews pick is pretty good because he's definitely like a top three or four keeper tight end at this point. So
that's and pretty I needed good him. I had Jordan Reed, so I really needed him.
Chris, you better plug for Lamar Jackson because he's your guy. So how'd that?
Well, I think he only reason he has to be the clear winner in this one is because he was the league winner. I mean, without him, then you know he carried a lot of teams to championships, not you know mine included. But Mark Andrews was probably who I would have gone with second on that.
Teammates, right?
He's a guy that I wanted to get, and Brian snagged him, and I don't know why I waited so long on him. But, you know, I'm sure we'll get to it a little bit later. But the only reason I ended up with Lamar Jackson is because Mr. Andrew Luck decided to retire.
Yes, that is right. That may be coming up later. So,
in a way, Andrew Luck helped me win last year.
All right.
Very good. So I will announce the winner, and the winner is Lamar Jackson, picked in the second round, sixth pick, turned out to be number one overall. And I think he had the top 10, you know, highest scoring player of the week. He had three of those. So, I mean, he just killed it last year. So congratulations, Chris. Steal the draft. Right. Moving on to the bust of the draft. We have five candidates for this category. The first one is Rashad Penny. And by the way, he was also a nominee last year for bust of the draft, picked by Craig. This year, picked by Ben in the second round, number 12, or the last pick of the second round, turned out to be the number 53 running back in for the year. Oof. Second candidate is Josh Gordon. He was picked in the second round, first pick in the second round by Bell.
Oops.
Turned out to be the 89th best wide receiver. Third nominee is D.D. Westbrook, picked also in the second round, fifth pick. Turned out to be the number 50th wide receiver. And turning to the last couple running backs were picked. Steve picked Matt Breida in the first round, the 11th pick. Turned out to be the number 44 running back. Sorry, Steve. And Devontae Freeman, first round, third pick. Number 25th running back at the end of the year, so it's not too terrible, but he was picked with the third pick. Yep. So that's kind of why he made this list of busts.
That's right. He doesn't even have a job yet this year, I don't think.
No, free agent deal.
Yeah. So what do you think, Chris?
Well, I honestly think I know what direction Zillow is going to go with this one, but my vote would be for Freeman. With the third pick, you got to get something better than that. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure Tim had him the year before and dropped him in midseason. Because I picked him up and ended up trading him, but to take him at number three overall, that'd be my vote.
Yeah. And, you know, he did fall outside of starting running back, you know, position there, mm-hmm. being picked in the first round. So, right. And there were some rookies available and all that.
I was just looking like at the draft board from last year too. There's picked after him was Cooper Kupp, who just won or was nominated for the award, the previous award. Tyler Lockett, Miles Sanders, Kyler, Austin Eckler, Devin Singletary, Derrick Henry. You know, all those guys were picked mm-hmm. after Freeman. So,
yeah,
I agree.
And while Freeman is probably up there. The winner of the bust of the draft is Josh Gordon, being the number 89th wide receiver after being picked first pick of the second round. I mean, 89th. I mean, that's not even rosterable.
I mean, did he even – he played, what, two games with New England, maybe? One? I can't remember.
Yeah, it wasn't many.
No, I think he came in with a splash, though, and, like, scored a touchdown or whatever, but then, yeah, couldn't keep himself under control, and now he's out. Mm-hmm. All right. The award goes all to right. Josh Gordon.
Josh Gordon. Moving on, a couple simple awards. I don't know if everybody knew this, but we're going to do most points for, most points against. It does say something, even though they didn't win. It shows good management throughout the year. So I'll just name the top three. Coming in at number three is Toph Terrors, 1,282 points. Number two, the league winner, Chris, 1,349 points. But the guy with the most points for by over 100 points was Brad Dowling, 1,460 points.
Wow. Those are the top three finishers, too, I think. One, two, and three. I got third. I never checked. And Chris and Brad were in the championship. That's right, yeah.
So, kind of worked out nicely.
You know, I have a stat later that I was in one of the, let's see, Franchise of the Year awards, which is our final award. So maybe I should share it, but I'm not going to save it. It is that Brad had, I think, let me look down here quick. He had three of the four highest scoring weeks in the league last year. So that would be why he's way up there.
You know, Brad had a good team, and I'm willing to bet some of those weeks with the highest scoring points. He had New England's defense, and they had probably four or five weeks with like at least 30 points.
Yep. Yeah, Dalvin Cook and Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Well, those guys crushed.
Cool. So the defense reset is going to hurt Brad a little bit then, because we're going to reset that scoring.
Yep.
Congrats, Brad. Means nothing. Most points against. Number three, most points against. So this is the bad luck category here. Steve with 1,265 points. This is very tight, by the way. Coming in at 1,266 points. So one more point against was Bell. And the number one team with the most points against was me. 1,269 points against me.
Hmm.
So people rise to the occasion of beating Zilla for sure.
Shocking you put this one in there. Yeah.
I didn't know it until I put it in.
Sure. That led to I can't remember what your record was. 5-8, something like that. Not
good. Knocked out of the first round of the toilet bowl. Moving on.
Congratulations.
The worst non-start. This is the worst one I could find. I don't know. There might have been more. I wasn't going to look through all the games, but this one popped out. So this is the category where, you know, the team owner did not start the right guy at the position. So going all the way back to week one, Ben Zizey decided to start Joe Mixon, who got him 1 point over Derrick Henry, who scored 27 points and was the difference in beating his brother. So that makes it worse.
That's rough. That's rough. And when you only have three wins during the year, you want to beat your brother in one of those.
Trust me, I know. Okay, moving on. Worst starting lineup manager and best starting lineup manager, the two next categories. These are new categories this year. And so I was able to see that Sleeper has like the max points for during the year and what you actually scored during the year. So this would be the worst starting lineup manager would be the person with the biggest differential between max points for and the actual points for. So they started the worst lineup. Number three is Chris. You could have had more points, Chris. What? You could have beat Dowling. 209 point differential.
I'm not very good at this. I'm not going to lie.
The champion just stinks. Mm-hmm. Barb Dar, Nick Stanton, 226 point differential. But number one was the guy with the only guy with a general manager, Tim Meyer, 257 points.
Oh, man. Got to find a new one.
Differential. Yep. Find a new general manager, Tim. Best starting lineup manager, the guy with the least amount of differential between max points for and actual points for. Coming at number three, Andy, 146 points. Steve, 144 points. And our commissioner, Craig Zizey, the best starting lineup manager at 137 points. Congrats.
Yeah, Craig. When you go studs and duds, it's not hard. Sorry, Craig.
Moving on, next category, slimmest margin of victory in the playoffs. I did not want to look through all the games, so I just went to the playoffs and saw what the slimmest margin of victory was. Andy Rainier beat Craig Zizey 115-104. Not that slim, actually.
No, it's kind of surprising.
Yeah.
Blowouts.
That was a lot of blowouts in the playoffs. Speaking of blowouts, biggest blowout I could find was week one, Brad Dowling over Nick Stanton, Barb Dar, 152-65, an 87-point differential. And last year, Dowling got beat in the mega blowout of the year by 68 points. So he wanted to beat that record probably. But he beat it by quite a bit, 20 points.
Flipped her around.
Yep.
Nice job, Brad.
So that's all for my categories. Congrats to all the winners. And right. Eric, I'll let you take it from here.
All right, I got four more. So the first one I had was waiver fab bust of the year. Now, this is almost impossible to find. You can't even find it on their website. You have to go on the app on your phone and look at league history, which is like hidden way down. And so I found a few that were kind of sketchy. So we'll see what you guys think. First of all, Steve added Ty Johnson, Detroit running back, for $36. I can't even recall if he did anything. I don't think he's a guy this year. So we'll see. Boss Fight, he had the most expensive ad of the year. Brandon Cooks for $77. And that was after we only have $100. So after Skittles dropped him to add Mecole Hardman for $20. So like a full budget is gone basically between those two guys and those two transactions. I am on this list because I added Brian Hill after, I think that was after Devontae Freeman might have gone down for Atlanta for $59, and he essentially did nothing. So well, that was kind of a bust. But I thought the funniest one was Wet Bandits, DP Nation, and Tim all added Ronald Jones during the year for fab, just at different times of the year. Once for $5, once for $2, and once for $19. Like he was added and dropped and fab used was used and abused on him so much. Wet Bandits, what were you thinking?
I mean, he wasn't any good. I'm still not convinced he is. I don't know how many of those ads and drops I was, but I know I had him at least once, maybe twice.
Yeah, that's right. I think you were one of those for sure, the spending mm-hmm. money on that guy. Now, I wonder...
I think he's going to be keeper this year for somebody too, isn't he?
He might be, and I think he's been named the starter over there too.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, throw Tom Brady in the mix and we'll see what happens, I guess. All right, so I think the winner goes to three at this point. I'm going to choose Wet Bandits, DP Nation, and Tim for waiver fab bust of the year, picking Ronald Jones up and spending money on him, and then dropping him. All right, second award for me is a generic one called Surprise of the Year. Two nominations for this one, I thought, and you guys can add in more if you've thought of more, but I had a hard time going back and look at all the history of the leagues on Sleeper, but Boss Fight is definitely in consideration. After winning in 2018, he finished 11th, despite having one of the best keeper teams and then drafting Derrick Henry in the first round, so... His keeper team was Mahomes, Mixon, Gurley, Juju, AJ Green, and Zach Ertz. I mean, think of going into last year with that lineup and then like winning three games. So that is definitely on the list. But the second overall, and I think we alluded to this earlier in the show, is Wet Bandits trading two first rounders for Andrew Luck, who then retired. So what I wrote down here is what's funny is that when you go back to the app and look at the trade, it doesn't even show Andrew Luck's name. So it looks like you traded away two first rounders for a sixth and seventh. So to add insult to injury, Chris, I'm sorry.
It seems like you were tanking, but then you won.
Exactly. Well, you know, I know I joked about it a little bit earlier, but it's still a little too soon to talk about. And I wasn't gonna. Well, I know you were the guy I was bidding against, Eric. Mm-hmm. I know you were trying to get him too, and then I just decided, well, you know, I got to beat him for this, and so of course I went to two first rounders and. Well, I guess we know what happened after that.
Yeah.
So what did those first rounders turn into? Was one of those Derrick Henry? No. That was his championship pick.
It was actually a first rounder in 2020 and then 2021.
Yeah.
So it wasn't last year's first.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so it's this year and next year.
So what does he have? He has your first round, which I think he just traded away. Pick,
right?
Yeah, you just traded away to Tim and ended up getting the second overall pick, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So he turned that into something kind of nice.
It's tough to be Ben right now, isn't it?
No. First overall and second overall pick. So we'll see what he decides to do. But lots and lots of options. Anyway, Chris, I'm sorry you're not going to get this award. It's Ben. It's surprising that he finished that low after having that good a team. So, congratulations, Ben. All right, so the third award is Underperforming Team of the Year. We got to give the nod here to to Tim Meyer. Sorry, man. It's given. 1-11. And you also left $79 of fab out there. So you need that general manager to pick it up. So the team he did beat, though, our next nominee, Boss Fight. So, Ben, well done. You are nominated again for Underperforming Team of the Year. What do you think about Ben's team?
Well, I would just say with Tim, I mean, he was the worst starting lineup game manager and left $79 in there and went 1-11. That's, I don't know if you'd call it underperforming, but
I just call it bad.
Rough. That's bad. Yep. Just bad. But definitely Ben. I mean, that is that starting lineup. If you looked at that at the beginning of your last year,
oh, it's crazy.
You go, that team's winning. Yeah, there's no question that team's going to win.
Yeah. Mahomes, Mixon, Gurley, Juju, AJ Green, Zach Ertz. I'd have been like above the moon on that one, trying to figure out what I was going to do with my draft. You know, there's no holes. But then again,
and AJ goes down, and Ben, Big Ben goes down, so Juju's done for, and Gurley's hurt.
Gurley didn't do well. Yeah,
yeah.
So sorry, Ben. My third nominee for this category is DP Nation. So I said, after coming off like back-to-back championships that he just had, and then a third place finish the next year, he struggled a sixth this past year. So I highlighted his starting lineup too. I mean, imagine going into the year with Baker, David Johnson, Damian Williams, Michael Thomas, Alshon Jeffrey, Travis Kelce, and then watching them all suck except for Thomas and Kelce. So he did add Devin Singletary at one point through the draft, but kind of looks like DP Nation might be in a little bit of a rebuilding mode here. So, guys, are there anybody else that you want to put in, as long as it's not my team, Underperforming Team of the Year?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I'm not sure what direction you're going with it, but just Ben's team is just way too good to finish 3-11 last year.
That is correct. Yeah.
Yeah. And I would agree. I would put my team in there too, but not as bad as Ben's.
and he has the first and second pick this year. So, I mean, he's just going to reload the lineup. I mean, what is his starting lineup or his keeper lineup right now? I'm just going to look real quick. Ben. Of course, Mahomes, Mixon. Looks like his wide receivers could use some help, but it looks like he might still keep Juju. AJ Green might be healthy again. Kareem Hunt. So he's got some decent guys. So we'll see what he does, but Boss Fight, two in a row. Go ahead, Brian.
No, it's Chris.
Oh, Chris. Sorry.
No, yeah. No, Ben will be fine.
Yeah. He just had some bad luck.
Ben will be fine. That is the motto of the episode. I just put on that on the title. Anyway, Boss Fight, two in a row. Underperforming Team of the Year. Pick it up. All right. Franchise of the Year, our final category. All right. So,
Do you know who won Underperforming Team of the Year last year, by the way?
I don't have my notes from last year. I don't know where they put them, but
Bandits.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that was right. Yeah.
And Franchise of the Year was Ben.
Holy cow.
All right, then.
So that may give
a change can happen over a year.
Yeah, it might give a little.
And they were both involved in the luck trade. What is going on?
Precursor to what this last award might be.
Right.
Franchise of the Year. We got three nominations. Wet Bandits, obviously, champion. Took down Dowling in the championship convincingly, 129 approximately to 64. So that's a drubbing.
That probably should have qualified Dowling for underperforming.
Yeah, in the championship, they don't show up. It's unfortunate. He did beat me, though, in the semis, so I don't know. He got there. Franchise of the Year, second nominee, Dowling, of course, finished second. He had a great draft. I mean, he grabbed Tyler Lockett, Mark Ingram to bolster what was already a really good lineup. Dalvin carried his team. He had three of the four highest scoring weeks in the league. You know, Franchise of the Year consideration for Dowling, for sure. A good year. Last one, I put MJ Bell in there. I mean, he took over a struggling franchise. I mean, who was, I don't know, who do you take over for? I can't remember. Anybody remember?
Sudbeck?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Dan was only in for a couple years. But he went 4-9, but, you know, hear me out. He filled a big need at running back, drafting Miles Sanders, who looks like a pretty promising rookie from last year. Has the fifth overall pick again this year. So, I mean, Franchise of the Year, you got to give consideration to guys that are that are doing a good job rebuilding. So, MJ Bell, I think you got a nominee. Any conversation on these? Chris, can you tout yourself?
Well, I mean, I won it, right? Brad had a great year, though. I mean, he really did. So,
I mean, one thing against the Wet Bandits is pretty poor starting lineup management. I mean, we covered that earlier. It's kind of rough there.
Hey, I started Lamar Jackson and Christian McCaffrey every week.
Okay, well, you've made up for it.
And you get to do it again this year, too, which really stinks. So, all right. Well, the winner of Franchise of the Year 2019 has to go to Wet Bandits. Congratulations, you were champion.
Yep, I agree. Sure.
All right. Well, okay. So I think that wraps it up. Any final words on any of these?
If any other awards or award comments, Chris?
No, I don't think so. I do think this is not necessarily for this podcast, but we all need to sit down and figure out what happens if this season doesn't last, you know, a full 16 weeks. And
I agree on that.
How we're gonna sort all that out before it gets too late.
Do you have any other leagues or any ideas?
Yeah, so I've got another league where I think we've decided if it goes 8 weeks, we'll consider that a full season, and then whoever has the most, I mean, pay out by point totals after that. If it quits before week eight is done, just reset everything, go back to everybody gets their money back and punt till next year.
Yep.
And I suppose if you get to the playoffs and it shuts down in the playoffs, it'll be, you know, whoever has the most points at that point out of all the playoff teams. But something like that, I think, probably makes the most sense.
Yep. Yeah, I think we talked about it a little bit on the last pod. So we kind of maybe left it up to Greg to make an executive decision on some of that stuff. But I think the advice to at least 6 to 8 weeks, somewhere in there. And then we already have tiebreakers decided. So, I mean, if we can just use those to determine who's the champion, then we do. So,
and just one non-TSFL comment. Chris, you want to put in a plug for your kid's YouTube channel?
Yeah. I forgot about that. My boys have a YouTube channel that they want me to tell everybody I know to subscribe to. It's called CD Bros, CDBROS. And so they do trick shots like every other kid their age, but they do a decent job of it. I know Zilla subscribed.
It's impressive. The editing's good. They got slow motion they put in effect. It's great.
Who does the editing, Chris? Is that you or do the kids do it?
Oh, I have nothing to do with that.
Wow, really?
My oldest boy does that. He's like 11.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think they have all these apps and tools that can do it for him pretty easily, but he spends a lot of time on it. I'm impressed with him.
Yeah, I mean, there were, I don't know how many trick shots there were in one of the ones I watched, probably 10, 12 different shots that they did.
Yeah, some of these videos are pretty terrible. So
that's right. Some of the Dude Perfect ones are pretty terrible too. So
CD Bros, check it out on YouTube.
All right, good plug. All right, welcome. Thanks for joining us for the second annual award show. Your awards are in the mail. So anyway, all right. Thanks guys for joining me today, and I will get this out and published so y'all can listen later today.
All right. Thanks guys.
Thank you.
Later, Chris. Thanks.
See ya.
Bye. All right. Well, there you go. That is episode 2 of season 2 of the TCFL Reboot Podcast. Hope you're enjoying the reboot. Thanks for joining us. And you can reach Brian at ToffBrian on Twitter, and I'm at Eric Toft on Twitter. Looking forward to the season. Please get your votes in for the polls if you haven't already. Please also get your keepers in because the season starts September 10th, and then we're doing our draft on Sunday. So here we go. Season upon us, and I look forward to it. All right. Thanks, guys. Bye.